Okay, our first speaker is Dr. Ari Greenspan. What words can I say to my partner in crime, so to speak? A person who, anyone takes a look at his website, not the one that says Ari Greenspan Dental, if you need a good dentist, it's worth coming to Israel, but the one's called Halachic Adventures. That's one of Ari's trademarks, is Halachic Adventures. And the adventure of Tchelet, I think even he would agree, is the best and the pinnacle of his halachic adventures. Starting as a kid who liked to scuba dive, piqued my interest and got him to join us for the Tchelet dyeing and finding the first snails that we would use to make the Tchelet, and continuing to spearhead our organization, Til Tchelet, for the past 25 years. I'd like to introduce Dr. Ari Spann.
I want to talk for just a few minutes to give you an idea of where we started, where we're at, and Bezrat Hashem, where we're going. I passed out a handout with some pictures just to give you an idea. Look, our story started way before us. We're the bit players in a long story, and we happen to be sitting on the shoulders of Gedolim. Rabbi Tevger began looking into this issue very practically 25, 27, 30 years ago. Joel's brother was killed in a tragic accident, and Joel decided to take upon himself learning the mitzvah of tzitzis, and he found out about Rabbi Tevger. Rabbi Tevger wanted to go to the ocean to get some snails. Joel knew that Baruch and I were diving together, and that's sort of how it started. And we did this first dive, probably the first dive in 1,300 years, certainly with scuba gear, in order to find Tchelet. Snails.
May I interrupt?
Please interrupt.
There is a mitzvah, in addition to Tchelet, there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And someone lost a set of car keys.
A second set of car keys.
What do you mean? Is this fair?
These are your keys.
These are mine.
Oh, we already announced it.
Okay, so I have the loser, outside. I mean, the winner, actually, whatever you want to call it,
outside.
We went to the beach that day, and we went diving exactly in the north of Israel between Haifa and Tzor, in Akko actually, and we went to look for these snails. And quite honestly, we really didn't know what we were doing. We found about 70 snails that day, which was actually sort of a record, because very rarely did we find that many snails ever again in one dive. And we got them to the beach, and I remember so clearly it was like electricity, you know, like, I don't even think we realized, you know, when we came out of the water, exactly what we had in our hands. And I had never heard the word chilazon before. You know, I hadn't learned the sugyos of Tchelet. And I remember that all of a sudden I felt, well, maybe we're onto something, when the Arab kids were running around us as Rabbi Tevger was breaking the snails, yelling, chilzum, chilzum. And that's how it started. Took a year until they were able to make the actual strings. It was pre-internet. The whole chemical process was unknown. And ultimately, we succeeded in making those strings. And then very quickly, people heard about it. And we had very quickly 600 people on a waiting list. Now, Baruch is a physicist, was then running a laser company. I'm a dentist. And Joel then was an occupational therapist, and Rabbi Tevger teaches in a yeshiva in Russia most of the time. And as much fun as it was being on the beach, we just simply didn't have time, and we were dying occasionally on Friday afternoons to try and deal with this. So ultimately, we opened up the Ptil Tchelet, which was sort of it was in a hut. Somebody here has a video of Joel when he was about 22 years old working in the hut in Efrat, which we call the International Laboratory of Tchelet, of course, you know, like the International Shachnez Laboratory. And but very quickly, we began to speak to Rabbanim, and there was initially a mixed response. I remember one serious Rav that I spoke to, and said, yeah, I'll wear Tchelet when the Gedolim wear it, when the Rambam wears it, and when the Ravid wears it, then I'll be happy to wear it. But we initially garnered a lot of press, and you can see on the picture just a handful of some of the articles that began to appear. And interestingly enough, there was zero halachic literature on Tchelet, with the exception of the book that Rabbi Billet mentioned, written by Menachem Borshin. Non-existent. Fascinatingly, today there are hundreds and hundreds of halachic and philosophic articles that have been written on this topic, pro and con. And you can see here there was an early conference that Rabbi Lam set up in YU, and in fact, in the early years, they used to call it the YU Treles. And then it became called the Efrat Treles, and it was something that bothered us greatly, because our goal was to bring back Treles to Am Yisrael, and we didn't want to have any of this stigma. If you turn to the back page here, you can see these are actually pictures I think that Joel must have taken on this first dive that we did, and this was the very first time that we went into the water to find these snails. And I don't think we understood what was happening when we came out of the water. Now I get chills when I think about it. How was it that Hashem put us there at this time to be the people that went into the water to bring these snails out? You can see Baruch there dying on a Friday afternoon in his house when he was a young man with black hair and hair. And our first stop was Gibraltar. We used to try to find snails because we couldn't get enough snails in Israel. It was very difficult. There's no commercial industry in Israel for fishing these snails. In Europe, there is a commercial fishing industry on these sort of things. So it was in the very earliest days of the internet, or actually even before the internet this was, that I had a patient. And my patients were in the chair, their mouths were open, they couldn't talk, and I talked to them about Tfelet the whole day. And I had a fellow going to Spain, going down to Gibraltar. And I said to him, can you see if there's such and such a snail that's available to be purchased there? He said, do me a favor, send me, I don't know if you guys remember what this is, something called a fax. And I sent the fax with a picture of the snail and the Latin name of the snail. And he went to the local zoo in southern Spain and he said, sure enough, they have it. And we ended up going to Spain initially, and then we were on the first trip. Baruch actually went in the very, very beginning. It was in Rome or in Greece for some sort of a conference, a science conference, and he found somebody selling snails along the way. And this is how it was. Baruch Hashem, we ultimately moved past that, and we found people that can help us supply these snails. And many very unusual and interesting halachic questions arose that hadn't risen in 1300 years. Questions of lishma, questions of koach gavra, questions of how to tie the tchelet. You see that that's one of the greatest issues. And as a group with rabbinic guidance, we sort of felt we had to choose a standard. Because one of the greatest barriers to entry to people that have decided, okay, let's say that this is the right color, okay, but now, what shita do I choose? And it's very, very confusing and very, very difficult. These were some of the things that we had to do. Who are we? Well, we have a board of people that sit on our nonprofit. The great lion's share of the work is done by Baruch and Joel. Judy, who's outside, who's Baruch's wife. Without Judy, the whole esek wouldn't happen. We have a number of employees in the factory that do the dyeing. And it's a life's work. And there's no night and there's no day, and Tchelet attracts a certain sort of, let's say a nicey, let's not say crazy, let's say somebody with hitlavut, okay? And these sort of people will call your house at 11:30 at night and 1:30 in the morning and not realize that you're not sitting in the base medrash. We have a factory. The factory is in Kfar Adumim. Anybody who hasn't been to it is more than welcome to come visit it. And in this factory, this is where we do all of the production. All of the production, yes? Okay, all of the production is done there. And the money, by the way, is funneled back into education. Somebody asked me outside, wow, this must cost a fortune. Who's paying for this? And the answer is, our goal is to produce Tchelet, to distribute Tchelet, and to educate Am Yisrael about Tchelet. So for example, in the handout that we have something there on the Daf Yomi, we printed 70,000 of those for the Daf Yomi, and they were distributed. And this is all from money that's been collected through the sale of the Tchelet. Some of the other things that we do, we give classes constantly. We have a program, an educational program on Chof Dor. Many of you, I know, have been to this. We actually get to go into the water and you get to experience collecting the dyes. We have a beautiful program for Israeli soldiers who want Tchelet. They can get a pair of Tchelet at a greatly reduced price. We have free. We have free or a reduced price?
Reduced price.
Reduced price, okay. Anybody would like to donate money, we'll give it to them for free. We ran a conference with 400 attendees in Jerusalem in honor or memory of Rav Herzog's 100th anniversary of the doctorate. We have, Baruch ran a web course, and people around the world now are learning about Tehillah because of these four courses. Parshat Truma, every year, the first mention of Tehillah in the Torah, Joel was really in charge of that, and we put out a kuntres with very heavy, serious Lamdish articles on Tehillah. We put aquariums into schools, and we have an extensive website. And the website, what's a little bit unusual about this website is, and because we believe that this is MS, this is the real thing, the website has an extensive online library, and it has a library of all the articles. It's got articles against Tehillah, and it's got articles for Tehillah, because we sort of feel that it's our obligation to put the information out there. That's where we're at now. I mean, who would have imagined when there were two people working out of a hut with no heat, with almost no roof, 25 years ago, that we'd be here with 100 people joining us for a conference, and many, many tens of thousands, if not over, wearing Tehillah around the world. What are our dreams and what do we need? We need all of you who are interested in Tehillah, who wear Tehillah, to be Tehillah ambassadors. This is a mitzvah asei doraita. And like Rabbi Halberstam said, you know, it's complicated. I'm Yisrael, and it's probably the healthy way. Religion shouldn't flip-flop. Religion has to be stable and steady and go the long route. But by the same token, if this is truly Tehillah, and you people are lahut, are excited about it, you need to be our Tehillah ambassadors and help bring this mitzvah to your friends. We have a beautiful program that we just started where we want to have a Tehillah talis in every shul. So if your shul doesn't have a talis with Tehillah, and you'd like to donate one so that your chazan can put on a talis with cheles, we encourage you to do that.
And it's a $10,000 donation.
Rabbi, for you it'll be $9,000. It's okay. And I think with that I'd like to end and just wish strength and good health to my partners, my co-founders, and just be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that somehow a physicist and an occupational therapist and a dentist and some rabbi from Russia managed to find each other through the guidance of Hashem and had this amazing zchut to be involved in reinstituting the mitzvah. Yeah, one question.
Just wondering, if the color depends on the exact lighting conditions, how do you produce a uniform product?
So Barry's asking if the color depends on, and I'll end with this, I'll just answer this question, depends on lighting conditions, how do you produce a uniform product? I'll tell you very quickly. I once bought a sweater in Land's End, okay? And you know, a place like Land's End has very, very strict rules in terms of conformity. You can't buy one thing and it's a different color if it appears in their catalog. And they were actually selling an indigo sweater, naturally dyed indigo sweater from the plant. And the whole chap was that it wore off like an old pair of dungarees. It faded with time. And I read the ad and I ordered it because it was indigo. And at the bottom of an ad there was a little asterisk and it said, because it's a natural dye process, colors may vary slightly. You know, we live in a world of modern chemistry where things can be measured on a digital scale and every chemical is exactly the same. Hashem's nature isn't like that. So we work within a framework, everything is mentioned. Occasionally we get colors that are questionable and those colors are left for Rabbi Tevger to decide whether he feels that falls within the parameters of what we understand Tehillah to be. But it's a very good question, but you have to understand, Chazal, 2,000 years ago, didn't have digital scales. They didn't have a way to give a uniform light. And obviously, Tehillah existed then. Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the...